Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, usually on Mondays, or we try and fit her in one of the days of the week, usually on Mondays, we have Deaconess Pam Nielsen on the telephone to teach a Sunday school lesson. And this week is no exception, except that she's here with us in the studio. She's kind enough to join us not only in this half hour, but in the next hour, hour two of Issues Etc. for our Mother's Roundtable, where we'll pick up where we left off on Friday's program, talking about the joys and challenges of motherhood. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here in person.
Now, often people find it a bit awkward if they're used to doing telephone interviews, and then suddenly we have to stare at each other and see Wilkin in his jogging clothes, and that kind of stuff can be a bit distracting. We're going to be talking about the ascension of Christ. Does Jesus give us any indication of why he ascended into heaven?
Well, I think in a couple places in Scripture. One, that he goes to prepare a place for us, and he promises the Holy Spirit who comes after him, who will come to the disciples and come to the children of God and will be with them until Jesus comes again. He has to leave so that he can come again at the last to be our judge and our Savior, the one who brings us home to heaven.
There's a lot there. I mean, that is not just, I go to prepare a place for you, but I remember one passage where he says, if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And that seems to be necessary as well.
Very necessary. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, the one who gives us faith, who keeps us in faith, the one who calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole church on earth. And he's the comforter, the one that will be with God's people in these latter days, the days that we're in right now, and keeping us in faith through the word and sacrament, so that when Jesus comes again, we're delivered to him for heaven.
This is one of those scenes that is often depicted in art. Because it has such a striking picture, and it's always kind of Jesus just as he's left the ground. I mean, he's a good respectable distance. You can tell he's not high jumping. He's, you know, 10 feet in the air.
That's
and
right.
Hands raised in blessing and on his way into a cloud. Tell the story about Jesus' ascension as it comes to us in the four Gospels.
Well, sure. He has been with the disciples. This is post-Easter, 40 days after Easter. And Luke tells us that they were all together in another Easter appearance, and they invite him in for dinner. He leaves. He's with them for a time, and he disappears. And then as they're talking about these things, he stands among them, it says in Luke 24, and offers him his peace, and then takes them out on the way to Bethany, takes them out from where they were, and they are there on this mountain or hill, and two angels appear, and Jesus leaves from them. He has some words for them, and he tells them, you know, that he will come again. They are to return and trust his coming again, and trust that the Holy Spirit will come.
It's, I think, often thought of as kind of a sad thing.
Yeah.
Jesus is gone. Jesus is going away. And a lot of Christians assume that it's with him going away, he is not here anymore.
Yeah, like they're being left alone.
Yeah, he's left us behind. Mm-hmm. And, well, yes, he's coming again, but there's no Jesus around here. We can think about him. We can remember him. We can pray to him. But he's not here anymore. Yeah. Is that true with his ascension?
Well, of course, it's not true. And it's something we really want to drive home with the children. You know, as he's there with them, he lifts his hands and he blesses them. And they leave with great joy because they've heard his teaching. They've been prepared by him for this moment. And with the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's not left them. His Holy Spirit will remain with them, must remain with them, must come to them. And Jesus comes to them now, comes to us now. He's still present everywhere, but present where we can find him for certain in his word and in his sacraments, in our baptism and the Lord's Supper. So we're not alone at all, and we really, really have to work on children understanding that. It's not like when grandma and grandpa leave and we don't see them for a long time. Jesus is still with us, just not in the physical way that he was when he walked upon the earth.
And you said in his word and sacraments, more than, well, Jesus is everywhere because he's God. It's this kind of omnipresence.
Of course, he's
everywhere.
That's right.
I mean, for me as a kid, I remember thinking about that and hearing that and thinking, you know, when someone's everywhere, that's kind of like being nowhere. I mean, not here.
I can't see him. I can't grab him. I can't touch him. That doesn't make any sense, like a cloud or
And it doesn't
air.
Do me any good, really,
if he's
everywhere.
But he's everywhere for us, and he's for us in his word. John tells us that he is the word, and he leaves his word with us. That's living word, God's word, word that gives us forgiveness, words that bring Christ to us. He's there for us in our baptism. That wasn't just some little moment in time, but that makes us his child and keeps us his child, and it gives us Jesus. We've put on Christ, says St. Paul. And in the Lord's Supper, he comes to us really in his body and blood, giving us forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. So he is, yes, everywhere, and we say that. God is omnipresent. Jesus is omnipresent. But if we're doubting, if we're wondering, where can I find him? Go to his word. Go to your baptism. Go to the Lord's Supper.
It raises another question, because he goes up and disappears from them into a cloud. And the kids are going to... I mean, everybody wants to kind of draw the line beyond that point, because he's not visible after he disappears in the cloud. Did he fly out into space? Did he pass the moon? Where is heaven? I mean, that's kind of the question. Where did he go? And if I go up, do I go to heaven? That kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's our need for a physical place and this idea of going up. We can't say where heaven is. We can't understand that in our human understanding of space and place and time. But heaven is where God is, where Jesus is, and where we will live one day, the new heavens and the new earth that he promises to give us. So, you know, to say up in the sky or to teach children that is probably not a good thing to do. It's simply to say that heaven is where God is, and it's where Jesus is, and it's where we'll be forever when he brings us there.
It says that elsewhere in Scripture, and then I think also the longer ending of Mark's Gospel says, he sat down at the right hand of God. What's that have to do with Jesus' ascension? What does it mean that he sits at the right hand of the Father?
Well, he's the right hand is the right hand to be at the Father, carrying out his will, and he is the main one with the Father. And Jesus, I see this beautiful mosaic that's at the seminary in Fort Wayne of Jesus as the judge, as the Savior, holding the symbols of justice, and yet blessing us and holding the world in his hand as the Redeemer of the world. It's all of that. He goes there. He has won the victory. He has slayed sin, death, and the devil, and he is there for us and will bring us there, and we will be at the right hand of the Father because of Jesus.
Those two angels say, why do you stand here staring into the sky? He has gone and he will come back just as he has gone away. What do they mean?
Well, that's a good question. Do we take that literally, that he's going to come back in a cloud? In another place we hear, as the trumpet shall sound. There are all kinds of clues. But I think the key to that is that he will come again for his people. And he has won the victory. He will come, yes, as judge. But as he judges us, it will not be a fierce judgment, because he has paid the price. We've been counted innocent. We've been made holy and righteous because of what he's done. So it's not something to fear, his coming. It's something to look forward to, because of our trust in him, not in our own good lives or good way of doing things.
Okay, so in a nutshell, Jesus has ascended to the Father, where he has been enthroned at God's right hand. That doesn't mean he's left us behind. Mm-mm. He is still with us and for us, really and truly, in mm-hmm. his word and his sacraments. He will be coming again, just as we saw him go, but that does not hold the prospect of fear for us, because of what he's already done for us before he ascended into heaven.
That's right.
Is that kind of all of it in a nutshell?
I think so. And, you know, to be at the Father's right hand, he has the Father's ear. And in another place in Scripture, it speaks about him interceding for us. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. And he's done that and is doing that with the Father on our behalf. So when he says he's going to go prepare a place for us, it's all of that.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about the ascension of Christ. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum, called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And
welcome back to Issues Etc. In about 10 minutes, hour two of program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will stay with us here in the studio. She'll be joined by Rebecca Curtis and on the phone, Sandra Ostapowicz. That sounds familiar. That's our Mother's Roundtable from Friday's program. We started then talking about the joys and challenges of motherhood. We'll continue that conversation, especially featuring your questions and your comments, and we'll be giving away two copies of the book Mommy Promises to listeners with the best questions or comments in the next hour of the program as we talk about the joys and challenges of motherhood. Pam, let's talk about how the how Christian congregations have traditionally marked the celebration of the Ascension. I mean, it's kind of got its own day, and there are certain observances there that help focus our attention on what this is all about.
Yeah, there's a rich tradition there, and it's kind of sad because for many churches, it's kind of going away. I remember a few years ago, I was on a round of workshops, and I inadvertently was scheduled for a workshop on a Thursday night in New York State, and it hit me, this is Ascension. Then there was no service there or anything. It was kind of sad because, you know, it falls 40 days after Easter, so that means it doesn't happen on a Sunday, and typically it's Thursday night, and our busy lives maybe keep people from going to church, but it's such an important festival in the church, and to help children understand it, and it's why in Growing in Christ, we're covering it the Sunday following Ascension, because we know lots of kids aren't getting to Ascension service. They're not hearing the story, and it's an important one. It's part of this whole Easter sequence, Lent, the marching to Jerusalem, the suffering and death of Christ, the resurrection on Easter, then Ascension, and then on 50 days after Easter, Pentecost. And the church has marked this in wonderful and visible ways. Going back to about the 5th century, that tradition of the Paschal candle, you know, that's that big one with the fancy stuff on it and the year marked on the candle. It gets carried in and used at the Easter Vigil. And on Easter Sunday, it's lit with all the other candles. Paschal simply means related to the Passover. And this brings to mind the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who passed over death for us. He died for us so that death passes over us. And during this first 40 days of Easter, this candle is lit. We see it every Sunday of Easter as part of our worship. And then the rest of the church year, it is lit for baptisms so that we're reminded of the newly baptized, how they're joined to Christ's death and resurrection. But at Ascension, it's the last time that this is lit. And then one other time in the life of the church, the Easter candle gets lit, the Paschal candle, and that is at the funeral. And if you have a church that brings the casket into the sanctuary and puts it up front, it's such a beautiful symbol and a beautiful reminder of the reality that this person dies in the Lord and death has passed over them as well, and they will live forever. And you light that candle and place it by the casket. So to teach children about that candle and why and when it appears, when it's lit and when it isn't, always it's associated with life in Christ and what he does for us, causing death to pass over us, because he was the sacrificial lamb who died.
I think it's a common practice to have that candle lit on the occasion of a baptism.
Yes, absolutely.
And, usually the little tiny taper that they call a baptism candle or something like that is lit from that Paschal candle, isn't it?
That's right. And if you're using that candle on Easter, that's the candle that lights all the others. And if you have the Easter Vigil, they carry that candle in, and all the pew candles and the altar candles, all of those things come from the light of Christ. That, and yes, very much at the baptism, they reach up with that little candle and light it off of there. Beautiful and visual. And if you have children and there's a baptism, sit up to the front so they can see all that's going on. But all this is tied together. Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, this is the big festival time of the church year. Started in Advent, And we're almost to the end of it. And then there's sort of a quiet season, the time of the church. And then we'll get back into Advent in the first part of December.
Since the Ascension is so closely linked, I mean, we think about Pentecost being closely linked with the gift of the Holy Spirit, which it is, but the promise is first made explicitly that way at Christ's Ascension. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high.
That's
and
right.
Jesus says, I'm ascending to send you the Holy Spirit. I remember a pastor some years ago, he didn't do children's sermons, but when there was a baptism, usually we drag all the kids up to the front during the children's sermon. He'd do it for the baptism so that all the children of the congregation could come forward, sit, kind of around that central font and see the baptism, see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I've even noticed in a lot of congregations, parents will, and they don't do this at other times. But they'll kind of lift up their kids like they're at a ball game or something during the baptism so that the children can see what's happening there. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's one of my earliest memories when I was 4 or 5 in a church in Hawaii where we went. And I went to the Lutheran school, and I remember one of our classmates was going to be baptized. And we all got to sit in the front row and watch that. And, I mean, it's still clear in my mind today. I won't say how many years later. So important, these things. But yes, just the baptism, there's so much more that goes on in church. For kids to be up front where they can see, to point out all these things that are happening, and for you Sunday school teachers to talk about what's going on in worship and connect it to what you're teaching in Sunday school so that kids start piecing together the whole big message, the whole big story, that it's for them, that it is God for them, that it is Christ for them on the cross, Christ for them who ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit for them who comes on Pentecost, who comes in baptism, who comes in the Word and in the sacraments. This is how we connect the dots and raise children in the family of God. And so much going on, so much ritual, so much visual storytelling in the worship service that you want to point it out to children and help them, prepare them for it. And just this past Sunday, we did the Lord's Prayer as the lesson, Rogate Sunday, Ask Sunday. It was the focus was on prayer. So we talked in Sunday school. I taught the children the word Rogate and what it meant. And I didn't check with Pastor, but we had a seminarian preach, and he talked about Rogate, and it was wonderful because I saw the kids around. I know that word, and they had learned it, and that's what we want to do. That's what Sunday school's for. It's not a separate activity.
One last thing on this. You would expect that the disciples, after having been with Jesus, been through what they've now been through with him, that when he ascends into heaven, they're going to be sad to see him go. But that's exactly the opposite of what both Luke and Matthew tell
that's
us
right.
about the reaction.
They return with great joy. Well, finally, this band of followers who have, stumbled along the way, stumbled at the miracles, stumbled at the teachings, not sure what it meant, confused, denied, betrayed, whatever, all these things that we've seen happen. Finally, they get it. They saw him die. He's appeared to them. He's made these promises. He made good on the big promise. He came back to life. They saw him dead. He's alive now. They are filled with faith, and his promise to them to go to heaven, to prepare for them, to send his comforter, the Holy Spirit, they get it. And in faith, they return with joy and knowing this is all part of it. Now, we know that from other writings in the scriptures that they thought this was going to be a quick sort of thing, didn't they? And here we are in 2010, and we're still waiting. Our time is not God's time, and yet we are in these last days, aren't we, waiting for him to return.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, a senior editor of Sunday School, Youth, and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, CPH's Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to be here today.
When we come back, Pam will be with us for a little bit more. She's going to join our Mother's Roundtable. When we did our Friday program with the Mother's Roundtable, we had opportunity to take some questions and comments, but not near enough time to take them all. And we don't have enough time in the next hour either to take them all. But we'll do our very best to get through as many of your questions, your comments about the challenges and joys of motherhood on the other side of this break. It's Monday afternoon, May the 10th. Our Mother's Roundtable with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Sandra Ostapowicz, and Rebecca Curtis will continue in the second hour of the program. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943. We'll be giving away a copy, two copies, of the book Mommy Promises by Julie Stiegelmeyer. In the second hour, 1-877-623-6943. Email us with questions or comments. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Or Twitter us at issuesetc. If you happen to visit our Facebook fan page, that's facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. You can also leave questions or comments on the joys and challenges of motherhood there. And we'll get them in real time. We'll be right back with the second hour of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.